conflict. 3. I will not overeat. 4. I will return the library's books before their due date. 5. I will always keep a respectful attitude towards my teachers. I will not look down on them, regardless of their majors. Sung Churl took his eyes away after this point and looked towards Sarasa. I don't feel there is a need to read this so carefully.
What if there's something more important written at the bottom?
Sarasa crossed her arms and spoke in a smug voice. He moved his gaze towards the notebook once again. There was another passage below the freshman's attitude, written as finely as grains of sand. Important. Things freshmen need to do. 1. Receive a uniform from Bington's clothier. 2. Receive a dorm designation from aged Jorgbart. 3. Complete the basic course in etiquette from Professor Robert Danton. 4. Attend senior students' orientation. 5. Select a major with the registrar's office. 6. Select a professor from a major/perform introductions. 7. Attend freshman welcoming ceremony. 8. Select responsible guidance counselor.
Sung Churl's gaze stopped at the entry regarding the guidance counselor. There were 5 stars next to the entry, with the words expulsion written beside it.
Do you know what you've done wrong?
Sarasa's eyes flared as she suddenly rose from her seat.
Are you referring to choosing a guidance counselor?
When Sung Churl asked, Sarasa forcefully shook her head and pointed at the first entry in the notebook.
No! Not wearing a uniform! Even if the school is falling apart, how can a student of the renowned Airfruit Academy be dressed like that? Clothes are the minimal civility towards others, which reveals one's own nature. No wonder Gramps was nagging at me.
Who is your grandfather?
Who do you think? It's Professor Altugius Cero. Haven't you heard of the legendary figure that took care of the mad dog of the vice captain from the Assassin's Guild that was causing a ruckus on our campus?
Ah, is that right?
Sarasa began nodding to Sung Churl's reply and continued to nag. She continued to prattle on, but her words could actually be condensed into a single sentence. Wear a uniform. However, Sung Churl was more interested in another part.
What should I do if no professor of my major will agree to become my guidance counselor?
That's how it ends up if you don't wear a uniform. Well, you should then request a minor professor. Of course, only after you have received the uniform from Bington's clothier.
The next day, Sung Churl visited the office of admissions. The resident's assistant was waiting within.
Where is Bington's clothier?
Sung Churl didn't plan on completely ignoring Sarasa's advice. There weren't many people on campus, but the laborer's fashion that he was currently wearing was undeniably conspicuous. However, the resident's assistants gave him an unexpected reply.
Student, are you referring to Bington, Yayo? Why are you looking for some human that was fired ages ago, Yayo?
Then what about uniforms? I don't have to wear one?
Uniforms have to be bought with personal funds from an external clothier based on your personal preference, Yayo.
He had already failed the first objective that a freshman must achieve. Sung Churl moved on to the next objective recorded in Sarasa's notebook. He discovered that many things Sarasa had experienced had either been removed or were missing.
What orientation is this when there are no students? Other than palace graduates who barely got in, the rest are all inferior stock, or from the final generation.
Helplessly, Sung Churl moved on to the next destination that he had set for himself. School of Alchemy, House of Malleability. Contrary to the School of Cosmomancy, the name was apt, though the building itself wasn't a structure, but rather a collapsing tent. He opened the tent and entered. Several students who couldn't be seen anywhere else had gathered here. Many of them looked to be in their early 20s. They were from the final generation.
What brings you here?
A student approached the unfamiliar guest and asked cautiously. Sung Churl didn't hesitate to state his purpose.
I came looking for a guidance counselor.
A man with sunken eyes came out from deeper within the tent while scratching his head.
A freshman? It's a summoned.
He looked directly at Sung Churl, then smiled, revealing his yellowed teeth.
You wouldn't have received Eckert's quest within the summoning palace and become an alchemist, have you?
When Seung-chul nodded, he slapped his knees with laughter while holding his belly for quite some time.
Oh, my stomach. There hasn't been anything really to laugh about recently, but I've finally found something worth laughing on. Anyways, you're looking for a guidance counselor? Okay, then. I am Pashul Filrus. I will gladly be your guidance counselor.
He asked for Seung-chul's personal details before opening his school-wide magic network and perusing Seung-chul's records.
Oh my, you're carrying such a terrifying name. Anyways, you've cut it very close. One more day and you would have had to pack up your things and leave.
Hearing all of the information, Seung-chul recalled Altugius within the Cosmomancy Observatory, and then the face of Leonard.
The professor is one thing, but I wonder why that guy didn't tell me any of this.
That question was resolved, more or less, on the next day.
Hey, Mr. Freshman, you can't come in here.
Leonard blocked the entrance with a bright smile. When Seung-chul asked for the reason, Leonard put on a sorrowful face as to sympathize with Seung-chul's misfortunes while speaking.
It is because you've been expelled. You'll get the news soon, but to explain, you have yet to find a teacher to accept you within 10 days of your admittance. In other words, you haven't found a guidance counselor.
If it is only the guidance counselor, then I've already found one.
Seung-chul spoke firmly. It was for a brief moment, but Leonard's lips twisted in a strange fashion.
You've found one?
Leonard looked back.
Not him, Seung-chul said. The alchemy professor. Pashul Filrus.
Ah, is that right?
The displeasure on Leonard's handsome face was clearly visible, but Seung-chul didn't pay it any mind. He passed by Leonard, who was holding his head down, and sat at his usual spot to begin reading through the pile of books. Altugius let out a stifled sigh of relief as he closed his eyes and listened to the amplified sound of the turning pages in the observatory. Chapter 14, School of Alchemy.
I believe it might be because Sir Warrior lacks the requirements to view the contents of the book.
Christian solved the conundrum that had been plaguing Seung-chul in one breath.
Some magical tomes require being acquainted with a separate tome. Having extremely high intuition makes it possible to circumvent some of the peculiar requirements, but in most cases, the problem Sir Warrior is facing will occur.
Seung-chul nodded while watching the sky squirrel eat some nuts at the corner of the table.
So that was the case.
Other than the explosive growth at the beginning, he didn't manage to advance his intuition at all during this past week. It was a heartbreaking waste of time for Seung-chul, who liked to optimize every second of his growth.
I should have met with this fellow a bit earlier to consult with him.
However, Seung-chul was the type of person who tried his hand at overcoming obstacles on his own before asking for help. But now that he knew that Altugius had given him indecipherable texts, an alternative method would be required. Christian declared that he would find out the solution for him.
I'll use my network of people and investigate regarding the book. Once we know the prerequisites, such as which books you'll need to read and the level of intuition required, it should become possible to decipher that book.
The problem now was time. It wasn't Seung-chul's intention to waste his time while he was waiting. He looked directly at Christian and asked him a question.
What do you suppose I should do in the meantime?
Since you have chosen alchemy as your minor, how about you use this time to receive some teachings regarding it while I try to decipher this book?
Alchemy?
Seung-chul's mind recalled the image of the humble tent with the lifeless students that were all chattering away.
That's right. Although they can be regarded as the delinquents of the school, they won't chase away any student. In that way, you can also receive magic power and intuition. As magic power and intuition are the lifeblood of mages, it could only be of benefit for you to raise it.
That's a good idea.
He also recalled the talking book that he had forgotten inside his soul storage. Despite everything, the book would be helpful in regards to alchemy. Seung-chul briefly opened the status window to check his stats. Stats: Strength, 999+. Dexterity, 853. Vitality, 801. Magic power, 32. Intuition, 35. Magic resist, 621. Resilience,
502. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18.
I have to drag my magic power and intuition over 100 as soon as I am able.
The basic spell for Cosmomancy required 130 magic power and 100 intuition. Currently, he couldn't learn the spell even if Altugius had wanted to teach it to him. This meant that he would need to change his plans if he wanted to meet his goals. He organized all the things that needed to be done in his mind.
I'll go to the alchemy building first to raise my intuition, and I'll then perform the quests inside the House of Recollections. Finally, when my magic power and intuition exceed 100, I'll come and find the Cosmomancy building again.
It had been a winding journey, but now that he had set out on a direction, he could see the end in sight. He pulled out a jewel to reward Christian.
It is always a pleasure.
Christian bent down to receive the jewel with a wide grin on his face. Having accomplished everything he had wanted to, he turned to leave when a certain someone's face appeared in his mind.
Do you know of Leonard's sanctum?
He hadn't thought about it much before, as he hadn't been very inconvenienced by Leonard, nor had he ever run into the man. However, Leonard had revealed his true nature today. He had an unexpected amount of interest in Sung Churl and wanted him expelled. It wasn't clear whether Leonard was an enemy with a purpose or simply a delinquent who enjoyed the suffering of others. But what was certain was that Sung Churl didn't like either possibility. There was nothing wrong with having information ahead of time.
Leonard. Leonard Sanctum. I've heard that name somewhere.
Christian spent quite a while struggling to recall when his head shot up along with his finger.
Did that person have brown or blonde hair? His nose slightly crooked like a hawk's beak?
Perhaps.
Christian pulled out a pen and paper, grabbed it with his prosthetic, then quickly sketched out a person's face. The drawing overall was nothing more than a chicken scratch, but the identifying features were well emphasized. Sung Chul looked at the portrait briefly and nodded.
This is accurate. It is this man. When did you have such a talent for art?
It is because my minor was in dimensional magic. Surprisingly, they taught us music and art there as well. Anyways, I don't know him directly, but he's quite a famous figure. Why are you looking for him?
He was in the Cosmomancy building.
Hearing this information, Christian tilted his head.
Is he still in school? That's strange. I only know him because his face was on a poster back when I was attending.
For what reason?
He got expelled. He was found guilty of intentionally causing the death of 5 students during an in-school competition known as the Gauntlet. Whoever is expelled can never return to the school for any reason.
Well, he was inside the Cosmomancy building.
Sung Cho took some time to digest the information from Christian.
It looks as though someone is backing him.
Could you look into it for me?
Sung Cho placed another jewel on the table as he rose from his seat.
Excuse me, Sir Warrior. I have a question I have wanted to ask for a while now.
Christian carefully inquired from behind while scratching his head.
Ask,
isn't it a waste? Even if you give me this much money, well, it's not something someone on the receiving end should be saying, but I feel that the compensation is excessive.
That is not something you have to concern yourself with.
Christian would never have dreamt that the man who 8 years ago had emptied the pride of the Allied Merchants Guild, the Infinity Safe, was standing right before him. Sung Cho moved to his next destination, leaving behind the 2 bright jewels.
Yes, I am the former tailor of the Airfruit Academy, Bington.
Originally, Sung Cho hadn't intended to wear the uniform, but he gained a bit of interest after Sarasa's fervent emphasis on it. He pulled out a single gold coin and spoke to the tailor.
I'd like to get fitted for 1 uniform.
Oh, my! You're a freshman. That's fine. Please wait for a bit.
The skinny tailor wore a monocle and was intensely staring at him through it. Sung Churl's soul contract, the Eye of Truth, detected that the man was looking at him through magical means.
Okay. Your measurements are complete. Do you prefer clothing to be a bit loose or snug?
I'd like an appropriate fit.
Ah, the most difficult of requests. Well, I'll have to show off a bit of my skills, then.
Bington began making the uniform using scissors and needles that moved independently, one after the other, with unbelievable proficiency, deserving of his former title as a tailor of Airfruit Academy. Sung-cho watched with an interest which he hadn't felt in a long time, the rare performance of Bington's work. Regardless of anything else, this man has reached the pinnacle of his field. He truly deserves to be called a master. It didn't take even 30 minutes for him to complete a full uniform.
This is the famous Air Fruit Academy uniform, made from the best material by the masterful hands of the very best tailor. Would you like to try it on?
It was called a uniform, but it had the form of a robe. Sung-cho removed his outerwear and put on the school robe before looking at himself in the mirror.
Oh my! Sir Customer, you look quite striking. An extraordinary aura seems to flow out of you, and it wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that you could become a grand mage by tomorrow.
Bington rubbed his hands together as he obviously buttered him up, but Sung-cho's response was quite passive.
What's this?
It was too tight to be called a robe. It was something like a skinny shirt which hugged his body's muscle lines as though his body had been perfectly measured. It reminded him of something the thugs would wear back on Earth. His sleeves had been lopped off and were patternless as well, the worn, yellowing shirt he wore underneath being visible below the sleeveless and shapeless robe was nothing short of a crime against fashion. Bington was weakly smiling while rubbing his hands together and lingering at Sung Chul's side, as though that part was also bothering him.
Your shirt from the old world is quite worn out. We also sell sleeveless shirts in our store that are just as good as the other world's clothes.
However, his words didn't reach Sung Chul's ears. He spoke plainly while looking in the mirror.
Isn't this too small? Why are there no sleeves?
It is the latest trend,
Bington chatted away proudly.
The latest trend?
The days when mages stayed cooped up in the laboratories studying books are long past. Aren't you the magic swordsman that lacks for nothing? Sir Customer seems to have a marvelous male physique, as I see it, which is why I made it so that it accentuates Sir Customer's appeal to the maximum.
Sung-chul pulled off the robe and wore his military fatigues once again. The familiar looseness made his body feel relaxed.
This feels much better.
A pine caterpillar has to eat pine needles. Sung-chul thought of this idiom as he left the shop, leaving the trendy uniform behind. The next day, Sung-chul headed towards the alchemy tent rather than the cosmomancy observatory. He was different from the usual, as his front pocket was quite full.
How could you? Sticking a lady in such a place for days and not even checking once. Isn't that just too much?
Bertelgia was thoroughly peeved. She had been stuck inside the soul storage since the path of Sagittos. Sung-chul had completely forgotten about her existence until now when he had pulled her out.
Really? You're the worst, the worst! Starting from passing the trial with such an inappropriate method, how could you not have a single thing that is good about you? Are all summoned like this?
Bertelgia continued to nag and hop about in his pocket, but Sung-chul didn't show the slightest response. He spoke the moment they began to approach the alchemy tent.
I'll stick you back into the soul storage if you don't quiet down now.
Bertelgia was silenced with a single sentence. Even her squirming within his pocket diminished. After calming Bertelgia, Sung-chul entered through a straw mat door flap into a tent that was called the House of Malleability. When he entered, however, he smelled something unpleasant. The place reeked of marijuana. Sung-chul observed that several students were sitting on some placemats within the tent while smoking some marijuana. They were peeking over at him while whispering amongst themselves and snickering. Sung-chul ignored them and sought out the alchemy professor, Pashil Filruz.
Ahem. Who's this? Isn't it the freshman?
A man with a burly physique suddenly blocked his path. His clothes appeared to be that of a student's, but his eyes looked befuddled as he occasionally snickered from being inebriated by the marijuana.
For them to be so happily smoking marijuana this early in the morning.
That wasn't all. The rest of the students were also rolling around the ground with empty alcohol bottles. The people and the bottles littered the ground alike, as if they were the same thing. Sung-chul glared at the student blocking his path and spoke quietly.
Where is Professor Pashil Filruz?
Pashil Hyung? Pashil Hyung is inside sleeping with a barmaid.
The burly student snickered again and pointed into the tent. Sung Chul discovered two bodies, one male and one female, sleeping together, wrapped around one another inside a closed-off section, separated by a portier.
It's a complete circus, even beyond what I'd expected.
He regretted coming so early in the morning. However, he couldn't just waste time after getting this far. Grasping at straws, Sung Chul asked the man in front of him,
I wish to learn alchemy. Where do I start?
There are textbooks scattered on the floor, with the ingredients and the cauldrons all outside the hut.
The man clucked in laughter before returning to where his friends were waiting for him, while speaking loudly for everyone to hear.
That guy is so earnest. You know what he said to me? He said he wanted to learn alchemy.
He exploded with laughter as though it were the greatest joke he had ever heard.
Why would someone like that come here?
The rest of the students snickered along as they continued to puff on marijuana cigarettes, with smoke pouring out of their nose and mouth. In some sense, it had a similar atmosphere to that of the school of cosmomancy. Sung Chul didn't bother with their taunts and began to look through the floor that was littered with beer bottles and trash in search of the lost textbooks.
There! That book!
Bertelgia whispered from his pocket. Sung Chul discovered a thin book that was stored under a pile of bottles and grabbed it with his hand. Beginner's alchemy that even ogres can follow. The students who were watching Sung Chul with interest burst into laughter at the sight.
Look at that! Mr. Sirius summoned managed to find a book! Worthy of being Eckhart's successor!
With such an eye-catching title, the book appeared to be intended for children. Upon opening the book, it revealed the illustrations of a goofy-looking ogre stirring a cauldron. They were laughing because they knew about this. As usual, Sung Chul was not fazed by the mockery of such insignificant people. He left the torrent of mockery behind him as he exited the tent. He could see several cauldrons and a storage made out of wooden planks stuck together. The cauldrons were filled with dust and spider webs, and the storage cabinet was left neglected.
Phew! Who were those bastards, really? They dare call themselves alchemists? What a disgrace.
Bertelgia squirmed once again.
Alchemists are treated like dogs even now. They're all pathetic people who can't see how great alchemy really is.
Sung Chul listened to her complaints and took a seat on a tree stump near an alchemic cauldron before opening the book. A distinct feeling came into his mind as he turned the first page. Easy. It looked stupidly easy. He read through the entire beginner's alchemy that even ogres can follow in one breath. There was quite a bit of content, but that wasn't a problem for Sung Chul. It was a moment when having been lost in the maze of indecipherable text for the past week had finally paid off.
A warrior like you should know that combat raises associated status points. Alchemy and magic also increase related status points the more you use them.
Bertelgia piped up when Sung Chul closed the book, as though she had been waiting to speak. He pulled her out of his pocket and nodded. She tottered along Sung Chul's palm like a human and spoke like an educator.
Another thing, there seems to be some connection between that cauldron next to you and the book. In other words, successfully synthesizing alchemical solutions within the boundaries of the academy using the cauldron and textbooks provided is considered as the completion of a quest and a suitable reward is given. This is a common teaching mechanism in magic academies.
Is that so?
Yep. Academies are, in essence, culminations of massive quests created by their predecessors. Even the oft-ridiculed alchemy operates under the same principle.
While listening to her insight, Sung Chul made a note in his mind.
Bertelgia, she can prove surprisingly useful at times.
If what she said was correct, then it was time for some hands-on experience. Sung Chul stood up from the stump, found a suitable branch, and brutishly snapped it off. It was about as thick as a grown man's arm, but it broke off like styrofoam in his grip. He stripped off all of the straggling branches using nothing but the strength of his hand before pulling out his beginner blade from his soul storage. The sword had been used extensively during his time in the Summoning Palace, but now it was a piece of junk which was simply taking up space inside his soul storage. Sung Chul held the sword over the flame that was burning underneath the cauldron until it had heated into a red color, then punched the blade with his fist to flatten it.
Dear Lord!
Bertelgio is speechless. He looped the flattened metal around the branch a few times, using it to tightly secure smaller branches to it, creating a sturdy book holder. He embedded the book holder against the cauldron and placed beginner's alchemy that even ogres can follow on top.
Clap, clap, clap!
Bertelgia couldn't help but applaud as she looked over this spectacle. Sung Troll took a step back to observe his handiwork before he headed to the storage made of planks. The storage was locked shut with rusted chains, but it came apart as easily as cobwebs when tugged by Sung Troll.
You look as though you've done this often,
Bertelgia teased carefully. Sung Troll nodded at this and responded, It's one of my few hobbies. There were countless ingredients placed on display. Bertelgia looked like a fish in water as she flew about, taking a look around the storage. Sung Troll couldn't figure out how a book that had no nose, eyes, or mouth could observe the ingredients. On completing her examination of the materials, she returned to his shoulder.
The ingredients aren't preserved well, probably due to neglect. But it should still be possible to synthesize the lowest-grade alchemical solution with them. Take this, this, and that for now. Yes, and that too.
Sung Troll picked out everything Bertelgia recommended and smelled them. Blindman's Grass, level 1, grade F, attribute, wood, effect, none. Note, it is commonly seen along the roadside, but due to its stabilizing nature, it acts as a neutralizing agent to otherwise reactive ingredients.
This is something I used before.
There was a noticeable difference between being clueless and having a dabbling knowledge, especially in regards to generating interest in a subject. The latter carried a significant advantage over the former. His interest reignited with such vigor that Sung Troll gathered some other ingredients to check their alchemic properties.
It's a good habit to smell as many ingredients as possible. Like a lion spares no effort when hunting a rabbit, a great alchemist would never overlook even the most common of ingredients.
He managed to gather all the necessary ingredients during Bertelgia's stream of encouragements and laid his jacket next to the cauldron, placing the ingredients on top.
Then, shall we begin?
It was a rare moment of gentleness. Sung Troll opened the textbook on his handcrafted book holder and chose an ingredient among those laid out before him.
It is effective to remove the roots of the blindman's grass before synthesis. There are some impurities contained within the roots that hinder the neutralizing effects of the plant.
Bertelgia continued to advise him by his side. Sung Troll followed her instructions and carefully removed the roots of the dried blindman's grass and proceeded with a similar preparation for the other ingredients. For example, a dried ingredient called Flower of Happiness needed to have its stamen and pistil removed, and only the dark caps of shadow mushrooms were considered as useful alchemical ingredients.
You're quite good at preparing ingredients. I thought you were only good at smashing things.
Bertelgia, who had been observing Sung Troll while floating by his side, threw out a rare compliment. While preparing the ingredients, Sung Troll realized how preparation for cooking and alchemy seemed extremely similar. Good ingredients were needed for good results, and dedication to cooking began from the preparation of ingredients. Considerable time was devoted to preparing the ingredients before they were tossed into the cauldron. Sung Troll then vigorously stirred the contents with a scoop. Mana continuously leaked out with each stir, and the alchemic cauldron filled with a vibrant light. Synthesis success! A green liquid filled the alchemic cauldron. Sung Troll filled an empty bottle with the green content and proceeded to examine it. Healing salve. Level 1. Grade E. Attribute, wood. Type, recovery item. Note, it is effective when rubbed onto wounds. A message popped up when Sung Troll finished observing it. Congratulations! You have succeeded in your first synthesis as an Airfruit Alchemist student. Reward, magic power, plus 1. Intuition, plus 1. Sung Troll's eyes flashed when he saw this message.
It raises magic power too? Not just intuition?
Of course. It takes magic power during synthesis. It isn't as simple as just reading a book and understanding the theory.
Plus 1 magic power and plus 1 intuition. It was an insignificant amount, but to Sung Troll, who had been thirsting for growth, it felt like finding an oasis in the middle of the desert. He immediately opened the next page and attempted the alchemical process within, and with Bertelgia's assistance, he managed to complete it in no time. By the time the sun had reached its zenith, he had completed the volume and all of its assignments. It had only raised his magic power by 5 and his intuition by 3, but Sung Cho wasn't discouraged. There was a mountain of resources to be found within the tent. Sung Cho again entered the tent and found another book before turning to leave. The students, who were finally preparing to start their lessons for the day, saw this unfamiliar man wearing military fatigues and couldn't help but tilt their heads.
Who is that guy?
Since all the students that had been smoking marijuana had left, there was no one there to answer them. There was also no one to give it a second thought. While being ignored by the students and the professor of the School of Alchemy, Sung Cho steadily plowed through the textbooks at a breakneck speed under the instruction and guidance of Bertelgia. By the time the pothead students saw Sung Cho again, they were shocked to see the book he held in his hands.
Well, what? He's already looking at advanced alchemy?
Their disbelief was to be expected. The shabbily dressed man had been looking at the introductory textbooks for children just a week ago, and they couldn't help but be surprised that this same man was now referring to advanced alchemy after merely a week's time that even they wouldn't dare attempt to read.
He's probably just pretending,
a student said, looking unimpressed as he breathed out a puff of white smoke. With his reassuring words, the other students all laughed along in agreement.
That must be it. How could that guy be looking at books that even we can't understand? Elementary alchemy is decently easy, but even intermediate alchemy makes me shit blood when I try to read it.
Agreed. In beginning with the introductory level alchemy, knowledge of how to correctly use alchemical tools becomes necessary. How can anyone self-learn the proper use of the tools without an instructor?
Their professor, Pajil Filrus, was wasted on alcohol and lying naked in his tent today as well. More mindful students might have pitied Sung Cho and taught him some basics, but no such students were left within the School of Alchemy. They could only conclude that this man was holding on to the advanced alchemy book for show. However, they had no way of knowing that the alchemic tools that had been gathered into a corner of the tent had disappeared, and that Sung Cho had a much better teacher than some random alchemist.
Good. Good. Pour it like that before squeezing out the rest. Though not too roughly.
Sung Cho carefully turned the centrifuge's handle under Bertelgia's guidance. As he could snap off the handle by being careless, he adjusted his strength as he cranked it to the highest possible speed, and then noticed the liquid separating into two layers inside of the centrifuge.
Good. Now use a mesh to filter out the upper layer.
Under her guidance, Sung Cho managed to fill a bottle with a clear white liquid. One of the benefits of being an alchemist was being able to know the rate of success beforehand. Synthesis success! He broke into a faint smile before taking a break. Contrary to what the students believed, Sung Cho had already comprehended intermediate alchemy and had taken a step into advanced alchemy. His intuition and magic power each had risen over 50 within the week, and his only obstacle now was his lack of mana. He was synthesizing so frequently that he was running out of mana, which resulted in failed synthesis. However, this problem was easily solved by using the power of money. He began drinking expensive mana drinks to restore his depleted magical power and continued with developing his alchemy. Sung Cho managed to grow beyond anyone's expectation, but it still wasn't enough to satisfy him. No, this was simply the beginning. Sung Cho, whose magic power and intuition had exceeded 50, set his sights on the House of Recollections. Chapter 15, House of Recollections. Like the passage of time forming wrinkles on the human skin, old buildings would also gain bone-chilling ghost stories. These were like badges of honor for the structure that has stood for several centuries. It might have been inevitable that the House of Recollections, a building that had been erected over 1,000 years ago, would be as much the focus of numerous unexplained wonders as the countless students who had passed through these doors. Not many students remained within the academy, and the vital flow of new admissions looked to have run dry. but seven ghastly rumors circled within the House of Recollections. The first wonder was regarding the immovable door at the end of the basement hallway. According to rumor, it was a room used as a prison before the House of Recollections had been renovated into a dormitory, and the room in question had been used as a sinister torture chamber similar to other prisons. It is said that many of those who were tortured to death became poltergeists and had wandered within the chamber ever since. Sung Chul now stood in front of the focus of the first of these stories, the immovable door at the basement. On the night of the waxing crescent, and upon the stroke of midnight, rust water will flow like blood through the cracks of the immovable door, and a quest will begin. There was a note from Christian inside Sung Chul's hand. He read over the note once again and waited for the rust water to flow from this infamous door. After some time had passed, a dreary feeling crept into the air and a slithering voice could be heard. It was a frightful wail, enough to make any weaker man make a beeline to the door.
Can't we just turn back?
Bertelgia, who appeared to be plenty scared, dug deep into his pocket. On the other hand, Sungtril wasn't bothered at all as he continued to observe the edges of this door. Bright red rust water soon began flowing from the door's edges like blood. Sungtril placed his hand upon the doorknob as though he had been waiting. There was a surprising chill that was surrounding it. He could see bright words appear from the doorknob soon after. What, pray tell, has compelled you to take hold of this doorknob? A list of choices followed. 1. Curiosity. 2. Courage. 3. Foolhardiness. Sung Chul wanted to select the third option, but he chose the ideal answer as given to him by Christian, which was the first choice. Curiosity. Curiosity can be the flame of knowledge to brilliant mages, but be wary. Curiosity will often lead to death. Sung Chul read through the words as he picked his ears. After a moment, the rusty water which had flowed out from the door began to float up on its own and wrote out bright red words and symbols over the door as though it were written in blood. Answer me this. What is this magical formation trying to convey? There was only one purpose to the shape-shifting rust water, the examination of the challenger's capabilities. It especially examined the intuition. Sung Chul would not have been able to understand the shapes of the rusty water a week ago, but he wasn't the same as before. He grasped the underlying pattern and meaning behind the dizzying motion of the rust water and answered calmly, Fortune. As his voice rang out, the rusty water that had been dancing in the air burned away into nothingness, and another message appeared before him. You have the qualifications to enter the door. The door slowly began to open. What lay beyond this immovable door, feared by students as a torture chamber, now revealed itself to Sung Chul. He felt slightly disappointed. There was a single devil tied down by metallic chains beyond the doors. It had a ram's head and a bat's wings, a human's body and a goat's hooves. It was a Baal. A Baal was known to be a grade higher than Balrog, but they had both met a similar fate without much difference to Sung Chul's hammer.
A long-waited guest. You've come right in time. I was just about to grow bored of this and escape.
The chained devil spoke. Upon closer observation, one of the devil's eyes was blind and his magic strength felt weak. He looked to have been captured after losing his strength due to a loss from a human or a devil. Sung Chul looked over the devil with uncaring eyes and spoke bluntly. Let's begin. A twisted smile formed on the devil's lips and he laughed loudly. Dozens of chains that shackled his body shook with his every movement.
A human with some spunk. Good. Let the devil's game begin.
A magical formation bloomed on the devil's fingerprints and a single table appeared between them. A single die and three cups had been placed on top of the table. The devil turned the cup over and placed a die within before he began to mix the cups with practiced movements. Intrigue sparked in Sung Chul's eyes. It's a shell game. It had been written on Christian's note that it would be a dice game, but Sung Chul knew that it was a shell game.
Now, the rules are simple. I'll mix the cups, and you guess the location of the die. If you get the location correct,
I'll reward you.
The devil looked down upon Sung Chul, arrogance in his eyes as he put forth his challenge.
Do you accept?
Sung Chul nodded. As soon as he accepted, the devil's hand that held the cups moved fluidly and tried to confuse the eyes. The die soon stopped, and the devil asked his question.
Now, which cup is holding the die of fate?
It wasn't a difficult question. Sung Chul pointed towards the center cup. When the devil lifted the cup, it held the die.
Pretty good for a human anyways, to be able to see through the great Krustes' deception.
The devil shook his fists as though he was frustrated. His chains shook violently and made a loud racket.
However, a promise is a promise, so I'll reward you.
When the racket from the chains died down, the devil pointed his finger with a sharp nail shooting out towards Sung Chul. What a great challenger! You have won the gamble against the devil Krustes. Reward, +1 magic power. As a devil, a race with a high affinity for magic, the reward wasn't intuition, but magic power. It was quite insufficient for a gamble against a devil, but there was more to come. Krustes smiled and spoke amiably.
Truthfully, I made a mistake this time around. It's been so long that my fingers got all twisted up. Why don't you try again? This time, I'll bet 2 of my magic power. Of course, you, a human, don't have to bet anything.
A tempting offer. There was no reason to refuse. Sung Chul nodded once again, and the second game soon began. The result was another victory for Sung Chul. As expected, it's just as Christian said. The devil imprisoned within the basement of the House of Recollections was one that had fallen to the human realm after being defeated during an internal fight amongst the devils within their realm. This devil, Krustes, was granted a secret space within the dormitory among students in exchange for helping mages and led a pitiful life tricking students. The devil's methods weren't that different from the traditional tricks that swindlers would use. He would lose a couple of games to the students to raise their greed and lower their guard before he devoured their souls through a single massive gamble. After the 4th game, please quickly escape from the room. The devil will get extremely upset if you don't. Christian warned him to only go as far as the 4th bet that didn't require any risks for the student. It was because the devil would require the students to bet some of the earnings after the 5th game.
How could such a human thing happen? For Krustes to lose 4 times consecutively.
The metallic chains shook loudly without reservation, and the devil's body trembled in anger.
10 magic power. Let's put 10 magic power on the line for the next gamble. I can't let you leave like this.
Sung Chul had won exactly 10 magic power through the 4 matches. Even with the consideration that the stat was easy to raise due to its initially low number, it wouldn't be an exaggeration to call it a top-tier reward for a common quest. Rather than calling it a common quest, it looks as though this is just simple gambling, like the devil had said. Most quests are classified common quests. Quests are a collection of trials and rewards created by blessed beings with the permission of those who control the world, gods and lesser gods. Those who created quests were referred to as the quest hosts, and the difficulty of the quest trials and the size of the rewards were relative to the strength of the quest host. Legendary existences, like that of the 7 heroes, could create high-tier quests, like objectives, but the lesser existences could only create quests that are suited to their level. However, this devil's gamble had an excessive reward to be considered as a low-tier quest. This meant that this quest was not set up like other quests, and was created in a way that could harm the quest host, depending on its results.
Now, human, do you dare gamble for 10 magic power? If so, come and try your luck.
If Sung Chul managed to win, he could earn another 10 magic power. It was an opportunity to gain 20 magic power overnight, with no particular effort involved on his part. However, the devil would never deal in such a losing bargain.
However, not even I can give away this much for free. I have bet thus far, and now you must bet something as well.
What do you want me to bet? When Sung Chul asked, the devil spoke with a sinister smile.
What else do you have to bet other than your soul?
It was easy enough up until now, for anyone could choose the correct cup by paying a bit of attention to the devil's sleight of hand. It was simple and straightforward.
An ignorant person might have been drunk on his winnings and stepped into this formidable challenge, not knowing that this temptation would be his destruction. I'll do it. However, Sung Churl entered the game with an entirely different mindset than the others, who had all been sacrificed to the devil. He crossed his arms and activated his soul contract, Eye of Truth, as he observed the devil.
You agreed?
Slam! The immovable door slammed shut. The room became dyed in a bloody hue. The devil smiled and laughed loud enough to blow off the roof.
Shall we begin, human? The final gamble, my 10 magic power or your soul.
The devil's hand that held the cups began to move. It was fast. It was a speed that was levels beyond the previous games as the die shot between the cups like a bullet, intending to confuse the eyes. The devil broke into a lighthearted laughter, and he put in more speed. By the end, his hands and the cups began to move faster and faster until only the afterimage of it could be seen with the naked eye, and the wooden table began to burn from the sheer friction of his movements. The hands stopped after some time while a portion of the table continued to burn. The devil looked down on Sung Trul with his last remaining eye and oppressively asked him,
Now, human, it is the time of destiny. Choose.
The devil was laughing. It was impossible to choose correctly. It was because this was a gamble that couldn't be won, even if the goddess of fortune was smiling upon the human. The die was not in the cups, but rather it was hidden inside the devil's grasp.
I'll get to dine on a human soul after such a long time.
The devil was licking his lips in anticipation as he hurriedly waited for the decision.
Now, human, why hesitate? I don't have much patience, you know.
At that moment, something the devil hadn't anticipated occurred. Sung Churl grabbed the devil's wrist. Cease all movements. The last remaining eye of the devil shrank in terror.
How?
He couldn't move his hand. It was something that had never happened before. Despite his status as a fallen devil who had lost his former strength, he was still an existence whose strength couldn't be compared to that of an average human. But now, it had been overcome so easily. The devil felt like his hand was being crushed, and so he released his grip as he screamed in pain. Roll. The die that had been hidden in his grip rolled onto the burning table.
What the? This bastard!
The devil had finally realized it. The one who had been tricked in this gamble wasn't the human, but rather himself. Sung Churl stared at him with eyes that were more devilish than a devil's and spoke firmly, using a heavy killing intent. Keep your promise, devil.
How could I refuse?
Krustes gave up what little remaining magic power he had left to Sung Churl. The message alerting of the quest's success came up. Reward, +10 magic power. Seeing that the message was blank, the devil himself must not have expected to lose the fifth gamble. Sung Churl quietly spoke to the devil, who was staring at him wide-eyed. The next time I come to find you, it will be your funeral day. The chains that held the devil shook weakly. Sung Churl could feel the devil's terror through the meek noises from the chains as he stood at the door. The immovable door swung open, and Sung Churl checked his stats as he left through the door. Stats. Strength, 999 plus. Dexterity, 853. Vitality, 801. Magic power, 71. Intuition, 58. Magic resist, 621. Resilience, 502. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18. There are 6 remaining quests within the House of Recollections. I'll tackle the alchemy class books at the School of Alchemy during the day and continue the quests inside the House of Recollections during the night. My time limit is 1 week. I have to hit my goals within 1 week. It wasn't a coincidence that Sung Churl had managed to achieve such divine physical strength. He knew what he had to do to continue growing. Outside the Airfruit Academy campus, there was a store for magical tools with a carbuncle symbol. This store, which had been steeped deeply in history and had already been passed down for 8 generations, was now at risk of closing down due to the impending calamity and the degeneracy of the Airfruit Academy. The current owner, however, was currently standing slack-jawed.
You wish to buy
all of this?
He always believed that the infamous windfall was a stroke of fortune which only happened to others.
Everything. How much will it be?
The black-haired summoned arrived without warning and brought with him enough profits to put him back in the black after suffering many years of losses.
The total comes to 31 gold coins, but since Sir Customer is a regular, we'll call it an even 30 gold coins.
The man had bought 31 low-tier magic essence, which was more commonly known as mana drink. It was infamous for having a ridiculous price despite its actual effectiveness at recovering magic power, but this man had just purchased 31 of them. There were only two within the store's inventory, but it was possible to get the other 29 through other stores and alchemists. The man had previously purchased 11 of these mana drinks, and just like then, no haggling had taken place. The man simply bought at the named price, even when the transaction amounts surpassed dozens of gold coins. This instance had been no different. The wholesale value of the 31 mana drinks that had been sold to the man was only valued at 12 gold coins. The owner was prepared to lower it to 20 gold coins if he started haggling, but the man hadn't even bothered with questions or complaint as he unhesitatingly handed over 30 gold coins. It goes without saying that the owner couldn't help but smile. The man's gold coins were much purer than the average gold coins, so their value would be much higher than regular gold coins. Even if they were all gold coins, their prices could vary depending on the date of manufacture, weight, and purity.
Then, if you'll excuse me.
After the man left, the owner carefully examined one of the gold coins.
It was unmistakable.
It was a perfect gold coin with 99.9% purity. The owner's mouth couldn't help but split into a wide smile.
Dang, what does that man do for a living?
He examined the other side of the coin to confirm its mint. That was because common coins have the mint site recorded, but the coin he now held in his hand had no such marks on it, an unmarked coin. He had no way of knowing its origins as someone who only traded minor tools with average students, but there was only one faction who had the authority to produce unmarked coinage in the other world, the Allied Merchants Guild. They weren't openly dominating, but their near bottomless economic might and their information network of merchants allowed the guild to become one of the hidden masters that ruled Otherworld. The circulation of unmarked coinage was a topic they had a great interest in for a while now.
The unmarked coin is being checked.
It was late in the evening when the head of the Allied Merchants Guild, Viceroy Horneko, received the report regarding the unmarked coin. There was black bread and a block of butter on the table. It was a humble meal which didn't quite fit in with the image of the head of the Allied Merchants Guild, who held the power to move mountains of gold at will. Viceroy Horneko chewed on the stubborn bread as he lazily looked to his aide.
Is that right?
He continued his meal even after he heard the report. After placing the butter on the black bread, he held some warm water in his mouth as he thoroughly chewed the buttered bread before downing it with the water. After completing his meal in this way, which was reminiscent of a cow's mastication, Horneko finally opened his mouth.
Where was the unmarked coin in question found?
It was Golden City.
Golden City?
One of Horneko's brows shot up.
Yes, not only that, but we also confirmed the information that several jewels we are familiar with have been identified within that district.
Unmarked coins, followed by the gems.
The gems could be considered as a coincidence, but the unmarked coins, which had been securely locked away inside the infinity safe, being circulated, could only mean one thing. The man who had emptied the infinity safe 8 years ago was active again within the human territories. They had lost him by a hair's breadth last time, but they couldn't afford to miss this opportunity again.
Contact the Assassin's Guild. Tell them to gather their best possible force. No questions will be asked, regardless of the price.
The reason for purchasing the mana drink in bulk was simple. The second hidden quest within the House of Recollections required a large amount of magic power. On the desk of the currently empty House Head's room was a precious orb, which reflected a dark, unpleasant light. Bertelgia recognized the orb's identity in a single glance and spoke.
This is the Stone of Soul Absorption.
I see.
Sungchul also knew this. There were some anti-mage specialists who had these stones embedded into their weapons. The soul absorption stone inside the house head's room was significantly larger than the ones he had seen, and its surface also looked polished, as if to prove that it had been passed through the hands of countless students.
Hmm. Whether it's in the past or now, a place called school will always be the same.
Bertelgia popped out of Sungchul's pocket as she spoke. When she noticed Sungchul's lack of response, she spun around in the vicinity of the stone while continuing with her words.
Even the school that I attended had a soul absorption stone at every dormitory. You know, because a freshman with extraordinary magic power would come by from time to time. And to pick out those talented kids, they left the stone there. The real deal would end up breaking the stone with just their mana.
That's what I'm also trying to do.
Sungchul pulled out a bag from his soul storage. It contained the 30 mana drink within.
This doesn't seem right.
Bertelgia drooped her body.
This is a scam, a total scam.
Sungchul didn't pay heed to her words and instead placed his hand on the stone of soul absorption. Accompanying the sensation of his magic power draining away was a bright message that appeared before his eyes. Welcome to Airfruit Magic Academy's Magic Power Measurement. You are currently touching a stone that drains magic power, called the Stone of Soul Absorption. If you experience a chill, dizziness, weakness in your legs, or fatigue, please remove your hand from the Stone of Soul Absorption immediately.
His vision became blurred.
Sungchul immediately poured a mana drink into his mouth. It was only as large as a baby chick's tear, but he could feel his magic power reinvigorate immediately after it entered his body.
Good! You possess great magic power. In that case, the measurement of magic power will now begin. The magic power measurement will continue for the duration of 5 minutes. The moment your hand is removed or your magic power is completely drained, the test will end. The test will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Start.
When the countdown ended, the stone began to drain Sungchul's magic power intensely.
One of his hands remained on the stone, while the other was busy emptying mana drinks into his mouth. His magic power was simultaneously replenished as it drained away. A white light began to fill the stone of soul absorption as magic power came flooding in.
This shouldn't be. This shouldn't be.
Bertelgia stared wordlessly at Sungchul's method of solving the quest. The test came to an end when half of the 31 mana drinks he had prepared were used up.
Impressive. Your high magic power can only be found in one among 500 people. The 12th house head of the Airfruit Academy, Mardaistez, extends a gift with respect towards the possessor of the most important talent, great magic power. Reward, magic power +5, intuition +5.
It was a generous reward, but this still wasn't the end. Sungchul did not remove his hand from the stone of soul absorption. The exterior of the stone of soul absorption filled with milky light and began to grow turbulent.
Is this still not enough?
Sungchul held the mana drink in his other hand, then nodded.
That is fine. The actual trial shall now begin. However, the test from this point can be extremely dangerous, so please proceed under the supervision of the resident's assistant of the dormitory.
There was no resident's assistant. Instead, there was only Bertelgia flapping beside him. When Sungchul looked over at her, she shouted with a relenting look.
Begin!
The test began at that moment. The stone began to absorb Sungchul's magic power at a rate incomparable to before.
Isn't this dangerous?
Bertelgia spoke out in concern, but Sungchul didn't take heed. He still had about 15 mana drink left. He consumed the essence when his mana was drained and continued on like a machine in this fashion. Slam! 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 In an instant, the clear sound of 10 empty bottles rang out over the top of the desk. Bertelgia, who was watching the scene, froze in shock.
Is this something a person should do?
With only 4 mana drink remaining, the surface of the stone of soul absorption finally began to crack. Sungchul's drinking of mana essence also stopped.
Impressive! You are the possessor of astounding magic power that only appears once every 10 years.
I congratulate the birth of a great mage who will carry the future of Airfruit and pray for endless glory in the years to come. Reward. Magic power, +5. Intuition, +5. He had managed to get his hands on additional rewards. For a time, the Stone of Soul Absorption and its related quest would not be available, as it would take a considerable amount of time to restore a shattered Stone of Soul Absorption. However, Sung Trill discovered a more urgent problem. He felt a familiar presence coming from beyond the door. The Lich Girl. She must have caught on to my plans and come by. They were fated to meet again at some point. After all, the girl had been carefully observing everything that was happening within the dorm. Sung Trill shoved Bertelgia, who had been flying beside him, into his pocket and whispered to her, "Keep quiet for a moment." She fidgeted once as to show her acknowledgement. The figure outside the door was the person he had been expecting.
"What you doing there?"
Her crystal blue eyes shot forth a piercing gaze, taking a peek at the scene behind Sung Trill. "I was performing a quest related to the Stone of Soul Absorption." There was no reason to make up a lie for something that was so obvious, so he spoke the truth. Hearing his explanation, Sarasa moved past him to look at the precious orb on top of the house head's desk.
"Ara?"
The surface of the Stone of Soul Absorption appeared cracked, like a field dried out by drought. Sarasa looked surprised as she turned towards Sung Trill.
Was this your doing?
Sung Trill nodded and Sarasa's form wavered like a reed.
"How can this be?"
Sarasa placed a hand on the cracked orb and recited a spell in her mind.
"Vision."
A visible projection appeared between them with information on display. "Those that have shattered the shell. Mardaistez. Great LaGrange. Vito. Armin Cruz." A familiar name appeared within the words that were scrolling away like the credit reel of a movie. 142, Altugius Cero. 148, Leonard Sanctum. 149, Sarasa Cero. And finally, Sungtrill's name appeared. 151, Sungtrill Kim. Sarasa stared piercingly at the name before turning towards Sungtrill once again. A small magical formation appeared in her eyes, which flickered with a cold and blue light. Sungtrill stats. Stats. Strength, 24. Dexterity, 25. Vitality, 26. Magic power, 81. Intuition, 68. Magic resist, 21. Resilience, 18. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18.
"You've shattered the Stone of Soul Absorption, and your magic power doesn't even reach 100?
This was impossible, in her mind at least. Sung Trill obliged her by tossing a small bottle in her direction. Sarasa instantly recognized the liquid within the bottle.
"This is mana drink?"
Sung Trill nodded and Sarasa finally looked at the rest of the room. There was a massive amount of empty mana drink bottles, which had been piled high on the house head's desk.
"My God, how much is this?"
Sarasa's eyes grew wide and a cold breath poured out from deep within her lungs.
"This is a sham."
Sarasa shook as she spoke. "You're right, this is a sham." Sung Trill spoke while looking back at her with indifferent eyes, but it couldn't be helped. "My teacher won't teach me any magic, so I could only conclude that I had to raise my stats regardless of the method."
That is...
Sarasa opened her mouth to speak, but quickly shut it again. She was well aware of the situation Altugius Cero had fallen into. Sung Trill continued to watch her with passive eyes and spoke quietly. "I'll briefly go to visit the second floor. There is a quest there that I want to complete. I have no ill intentions, so you're welcome to come observe from the side." Sarasa made no reply. Silence implies consent. Sung Trill used the momentum of the situation to move past her and stepped on to the second floor's stairs. Once on the second floor, Sung Trill felt that the chill which permeated the entire dorm was one step stronger. The area in front of Sarasa's room had the most intense concentration of magic. She coated the place with cryomancy. Sung Trill moved past her room and headed towards the next quest's location. The quests within the House of Recollections were infamous for their high difficulty and degree of risk, but to Sung Trill, who was already familiar with both the strategies on overcoming them and the various contingency plans he could follow in case of mistakes, the obstacles didn't amount to much. Going to the School of Alchemy in the morning and the House of Recollections during the night, Sung Chul continued to grind through this ebb and flow for a whole week. He looked at his status page as he celebrated his accomplishments with some of his personal cooking. Stats: Strength 999 plus, Dexterity 853, Vitality 801, Magic Power 130, Intuition 101, Magic Resist 621, Resilience 502, Charisma 18, Luck 18. Sung Chul drained a shot glass in one go. The alcohol was sweet, especially after raising magic power, which had been particularly difficult. When the beginner's threshold of 100 was met, growth would naturally come to a halt. This was why he had to rely on alchemy so heavily, despite completing all of the hidden quests within the House of Recollections. After full days of synthesizing, he had barely managed to raise his magic power by one or two until he finally met the goals he had set. Should I slowly begin to move towards that place? He hadn't received any positive news from Christian, but he had set his mind on returning to the Observatory of Cosmomancy after so long.
Look who it is! Didn't you decide on alchemy? You must have come by because you were lonely without any friends. How sad. There don't seem to be any friends here either.
Leonard passionately greeted Sung Chul when he returned to the observatory, but he ignored Leonard completely as he entered. Altugius, who was obstinately sitting under a pillar with his back turned, took a quick peek before putting his head down to feign ignorance. Once again, Sung Chul took a seat next to the tower of books that had been haunting him and grabbed one. It was the thickest of the pile and was the one that had hurt his brain the most. Leonard began to taunt him while lying on his hammock.
I'll say this from the kindness of my heart. That book is not something a beginner like you can understand through brute force.
The warning would have been better served much earlier, but things were different now. Sung Chul was watching the words, which couldn't be understood before, slowly form into something coherent. The magic tome slowly lifted itself and opened before him. Leonard's eyes grew wide in shock.
What? That bastard!
Nothing could be hidden within the observatory, which was a place that amplified even the smallest of sounds. The book that was now levitating in the air began to turn its pages at a rapid pace. When the information within it had finished transferring over to Sung Chul, Altugius turned his head and his aged face became full of astonishment.
No, that man?
During that moment of shock, a small change appeared within Sung Chul. The change was then manifested into physical form.
You have broken through the basic tome of cosmomancy, light that shines through stormy clouds. The knowledge of the skies and the universe is now hidden within you. Reward, magic glare.
Chapter 16. Difficult assignment. Sung Chul felt the new skill imbued to his body and took a moment to familiarize himself with it. Status window. Magic.
Magic. 1. Glare.
Sung Chul stared at the spell Glare intensely. Eventually, a more detailed screen regarding the skill appeared.
Glare. Rank 3. Type. Offensive magic. Attribute. Null attribute. Effect. Single target attack. Note, calls down a heavenly light to burn your foes.
Even the most basic magic was categorized as a third rank. Was it more accurate to say that it was to be expected? Sung Chul was gripped by a compulsion to test out his new magic, but there was a problem that needed to be solved before he could do so. The people within the School of Cosmomancy.
No. You, how did you do it? How could you read that book?
It was the first time that Altugius made such an expression of surprise. He even dropped the pipe in his mouth onto the floor from the shock. But there was another person who was even more surprised. That person was Leonard Sanctum.
This is impossible. That man's intuition was definitely at the level of some chimp.
Immediately after he spoke, a magic formation unraveled within his pupils and Sung Churl's stats appeared before him. The new numbers only confirmed Leonard's suspicions.
This is impossible. His intuition is 101? How did he manage to rise it so high? What kind of person is he?
Altugius was also looking at Sung Churl's stats using a similar magic. Only praise escaped from his lips, since this was a truly monstrous growth rate.
What kind of sorcery is this?
Altugius asked, and Sung Churl replied with honesty.
I synthesized at the School of Alchemy during the day, and performed quests within the House of Recollections during the night.
It was an inadequate explanation, but the only truth that mattered was that he had managed to achieve such rapid growth, regardless of what method was actually used. To this answer, Altugius spoke genuinely.
Truly impressive. I've seen countless students, but never someone who progressed so quickly.
No matter how much help one were to receive, growth was the merit of the individual. Even with the best and the most thorough assistance, without effort and diligence, improvement was impossible.
Amazing.
It was rare praise from Altugius, who was someone who usually kept silent on such matters. Leonard became enraged. He pulled himself from the hammock and briskly stepped towards Altugius.
Are you going to give your teachings to that bastard?
His sharp voice echoed throughout the observatory. Altugius turned to face Leonard, but ultimately decided to avoid his gaze.
I haven't said a single word on such matters.
Then why did you hand over the basic tome to him? Out of so many books, why that one? Is there some conspiracy that I'm not aware of?
Leonard's voice grew increasingly aggressive with every step he took toward Altugius. Sung Churl, who was watching the scene, further solidified his impression that Leonard was not simply Altugius's disciple. He was acting more like a loan shark than a disciple.
According to Christian, Airfruit had already processed his expulsion once before. Though not only has this person set foot in the school again, he's also harassing his professor. There must be a variety of forces at play here.
A building with a rotten foundation will eventually collapse, but there was no reason for Sung Churl to step in, nor was there a need for him to. He continued to observe the situation. Leonard continued to press his so-called teacher while aggressively baring his fangs.
That puts me in a difficult position, Professor. Don't you already know that patience isn't my strong suit?
Altugius didn't speak a word with his head facing the floor. When his teacher didn't appear to be responsive to him, Leonard let out a sigh and turned around. His bloodshot eyes locked onto Sung Churl's figure.
Hey, freshman!
Leonard pointed a finger towards Sung Churl, and when Sung Churl acknowledged him, Leonard spoke cheerfully with a sinister smile.
I don't like you. Do you mind just leaving?
The words were brightly spoken, but they came interlaced with hidden threats. Sung Churl stared at Leonard with his mouth shut. Leonard thought it foolish at first and laughed bitterly at the gesture, but the laughter didn't last long.
Who is this piece of shit?
He saw an insignificant man, frozen in place and unable to say a single word, but he could also feel an intangible chill come crawling up his spine. Leonard vehemently denied this feeling, but he couldn't rid himself of his uneasiness. His insides began to boil in anger.
This is why I never liked those fucking summoned graduates.
Unlike those that were born into this world, the summoned crawled through hell upon their arrival. Not just any random person could survive within that hell. This was why they would be more militant than the average otherworlder. Leonard never liked the attitude of those summoned. He had to thoroughly step on them with oppressive strength to make sure they were never allowed to crawl up to him again. He smiled as he began to recall the faces of those arrogant fucks that had been killed by his hands.
Haven't you heard of me? What I, Leonard Sanctum, has done within the Airfruit Academy? Perhaps it's because you had no friends who could tell you?
I've heard that you've killed students in combat.
The silent Sung Churl finally opened his mouth, but his voice and expression were still quite indifferent. Leonard chuckled as he nodded.
You know of it! Then why are you looking at me with such a stiff back? Feeling cocky? Or maybe feeling brave? Or maybe you just don't know how to act at all?
Well, either way, it doesn't matter. I'll give you a chance. If you disappear from my sight right this instant and I never catch you again, I'll forgive you.
Sung Chul didn't even bat an eye at the blatant threat. He simply pointed his finger towards the exit. It was a gesture of challenge. Leonard exploded in laughter. He roared in laughter for quite a while like a madman. As the observatory filled with Leonard's laughter, Altugius, who had been silent during this whole time, let out a thick sigh.